You are the passenger in a car, and your friend is driving the car. Your friend is speeding. You're coming up to a place where you know the police always hang out and they shoot their radar guns. What do you do with your friend? Live question. What do you do with your friend?
Warn him.
You tell him, hey, you're speeding, there's police up here. You need to slow down, right? Okay. New scenario. The teacher tells your son to turn in his project on Tuesday. Your son says, I'm not going to turn in anything. What do you do?
Maybe we gave him another chance to next week or...
No, you're not the teacher.
Or go out the room. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not the teacher. Hmm. You're not the teacher. You're the parent.
I am a student parent.
No, you're the parent, and the son says, I'm not going to do it. So as the parent, what do you do?
Uh-huh. Rebuke him.
What's that?
Rebuke him.
Rebuke him. Okay. Warn him.
Encourage.
Tell him, hey, you need to do this. You tell him, no, you don't get to just not turn in your project on Tuesday. You're going to have to do this. Okay, new scenario. You're in the Army. The commanding general comes to your unit, and a soldier in your unit refuses to show respect to the general. What do you say to the soldier?
Majesty.
To the general, to the soldier. What do you say to the soldier who will not respect the general? What do you say to the soldier who will not respect the general? What do you say?
Rebuke him again.
Okay, you rebuke him. Yeah. You say, listen, you don't treat the general that way.
Yeah.
That's not how you treat the general. Okay. In all of those instances, why did you do what you did?
Well, you care for that person.
Yeah, you care about the person. Mm-hmm. And what is the person doing in every one of those instances?
Disobeying
authority. That's right. Now, last week we talked about authority. And last week I gave you similar scenarios to start the sermon, except they weren't about somebody else disrespecting authority. They were about you. And you have to honor the authority. Now we're talking about somebody else who is dishonoring the authority. And what do you do when it's somebody else? You warn them. You may rebuke them. You encourage them to obey. You call them to say, listen, this is authority. You have to listen to this. You have to respect this. You do that when it's somebody else. And so this week, that's what those scenarios are about. And so Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's talking to his disciples in Galilee. He's talking likely to a larger group than just the 11, but we know that the 11 are there. Here's what he says. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. We talked about that last week, what that means, all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all, I mean, I asked you this question. How much is all? All is all. He has all authority. There is only one person who has all authority, and that's God. He's the only one with all authority. Jesus has all authority. He has the same authority God has. He then says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." Go therefore and make disciples. I have all authority, therefore go make disciples. That's what Jesus is saying. Before we get into the relationship between those two sentences, I want to talk about it. What is a disciple? He says, go make disciples. Well, what's that mean? What is a disciple? The Greek word literally is a learner. You are Jesus' disciple when you are intentionally following him to learn from him. He is your Lord, and you want to learn from your Lord. Disciples are not perfect. They still mess up. They still sin. They have not arrived at the final destination. They're on a journey, but they're working in that direction toward the final destination. Disciples are learners. I'm a disciple, and I am still learning so much from Jesus. And there's no way I'm even close to being where God wants me to be. But by his grace, I'm at least walking in that direction. That's one way you tell a disciple from someone who's not, is not are they perfect, not do they have everything all sorted out, but what direction are they walking in? Are they walking in the right direction? Kind of like, you know, someone walking on a path, and you're walking in the mountains on a path up toward the top of the mountain. And the way you can tell if somebody is heading in the right direction is, are they going up instead of going down? They may be very low on the mountain or very high on the mountain, but are they going in the right direction? That's something like that is how you tell a disciple. Not where are they, but what direction are they going in? Disciples can be in different stages of learning, just like, you know, you can be in kindergarten with following Jesus. You can be in high school with following Jesus. You could be in college with following Jesus. They're all learners. They're not in the same place, but they are all moving in the same direction when they're learners. And so all those learners are different in terms of where they are, and yet they're all learners. And so this is what being a disciple deals with. And so as a disciple, you could be 10 centimeters down the road, or you can be 10 kilometers down the road. But you're walking in the same direction. And so a disciple follows Jesus. That's what a disciple does. A disciple follows Jesus. Jesus is now saying, go make disciples. Go make followers of me. That's what he's saying. He's telling his people to make followers of Jesus. So a follower of Jesus, let's talk about this for a little bit. A follower of Jesus, the first thing I want to say is it's holistic. It involves your heart. It involves your mind. It involves your life. It involves so much stuff. And so let me sort of unpack some of this. A disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, has a right heart. A disciple wants Jesus. It's like a marriage. Imagine for a moment a marriage with no heart. In marriage, a good marriage, the husband desires his wife, and the wife desires her husband. In a good marriage, the husband loves his wife, and the wife loves her husband. Those are heart words, desire, love. It's part of marriage, though. If you were to take that out of marriage, it wouldn't be a very good marriage. This is the heart aspect of marriage that has to be there for marriage to be healthy. And so it is with you and Jesus. The disciple is part of, in Scripture, the bride of Christ. He's the groom, we are the bride. That's a marriage, guys. And there needs to be a heart element in that marriage. You need to love Jesus and desire Jesus. You need to die to you. You need to rejoice in Him. You need to learn contentment in Christ and humility and trust. All of those issues are heart issues. Humility, trust, joy, contentment, love, desire. Those are all heart issues. You can't get to those issues intellectually. They come through something else. And they're essential to being a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus with no heart for Jesus is not a follower of Jesus. And so, go make disciples, then, means go teach people to have a new heart. We were talking about that earlier, right? You get a new heart when you come to faith. A disciple pursues a right heart. A disciple desires that. It doesn't mean that your heart is perfect, but you want that. You have a desire for Jesus and to learn from Him and to learn His heart and for His heart to be your heart. You want that if you're a follower of Jesus. Okay, so that's one aspect of making a disciple, is teaching people to pursue this right heart. Second aspect involves right doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine very plainly actually does involve the heart, believe it or not. Some people say, oh, that's just, but it does. But it brings the mind into the equation. See, a disciple is learning to follow Jesus with all his heart and all his mind. Both. Some people will oppose those. They'll take the heart and the mind and put them against one another, as if you could. And they'll say, well, I'd much rather love than believe the right things. And they act as if your heart and your head were enemies, sort of fighting against one another, and which one is more important kind of thing, you know? As if you have to choose. I can have a right heart or I can have a right doctrine, but I can't have both. No. There's nothing like that in Scripture. That's not the way it works. A disciple is holistic. It's not compartments. I'll have this compartment, but not that compartment. It's holistic. You want both compartments, if we even talk them that way. They're really not even compartments. It's a bad way of talking about it. Here's the deal. A right heart wants right doctrine. One way you can tell if someone has a wrong heart is if he or she doesn't care about right doctrine. If they don't care about right teaching, they have a wrong heart. Because right hearts want right teaching. Because a right heart wants Jesus. And if you're following wrong teaching, you don't have Jesus. And a right heart wants Jesus. And so it wants the right teaching. One way you can tell if someone does not love is if he does not care about right teaching. Love wants right teaching. It loves it. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives his definition of biblical love. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love does not, and then what's next? It does not delight itself in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Love wants the truth. It doesn't like evil. It wants what's right and true. When you hear people say, "I would rather have love than know the truth," what they are doing is not loving. There's no such thing as love that does not love the truth. That doesn't exist. It's showing that they don't understand what love is when they talk that way. Love and truth go together. You can't separate them. And so disciples are learners, and they are learners. You're learning a certain heart from Jesus. But they're also learners who are learning certain truths from Jesus. And the truths matter. They're important. You can't just push them aside and say, "Oh, I'd rather have a right heart than know all this stuff." That just shows you don't know what you're talking about. And so that means disciples care about right teaching. That's important to them. They care about right doctrine. So, a disciple is pursuing a right heart. A disciple is pursuing godly teaching. They are also learning to live a right life. See, it's not enough to feel the right feelings and to think the right truths. You actually have to live them. How you live your life is important to being a disciple of Jesus. Not just thinking Jesus' thoughts and not just feeling it from the heart, his feelings, but living what he says to do. Verse 20, in the text we're looking at, he says, I'll start in 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to," and what's the next word? Teaching them to obey or observe or keep all the commandments that I have given you. Disciples are learning to do what Jesus says. Not just think it and feel it, but to do it. The disciples are learners who are learning to obey Scripture. Disciples are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Disciples need a right heart, they need right thoughts, and they need a right life. Making disciples is holistic. It involves all of this. It involves repentance. It involves obedience to Scripture. It involves worship of Christ. It involves letting go of yourself. It involves pure doctrine, right teaching. It involves giving of your time, of your money, of your resources to the kingdom of God, and to see that that gets advanced. It involves changing your priorities to the priorities of Jesus. It involves loving Christ with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. It involves everything. A disciple involves, following Jesus involves everything. When you follow Jesus, you give him everything. You give him your life. You say, Jesus, I'm yours. Take me. Use me as you wish. Now remember, a disciple's a learner. That doesn't mean your life is all perfect, just like that. You're on a journey. You're learning. Your heart is growing, and your heart is becoming more like Jesus. Over time, your doctrine is becoming more like Jesus. Over time, you're starting to obey in more areas of your life. And so I'm not saying that you're not a disciple until you have it perfect. That's not true. Remember, it's what direction are you going in? More than are you perfect? Because if you got to be perfect, then, well, there's no such thing as disciples. Because none of us is perfect. And so a disciple is a learner who is learning to give Jesus everything. That's what a disciple is. And so it involves making disciples then. If that's what a disciple is, and we're commanded to make disciples, think about what that means then. We're commanded to make more than just people who have right teaching. And just let's just give them some information, and that's all they need is some information, and that, whoa, boom, we got disciples. That's not really the way it works. It involves giving people a whole lot more than head knowledge. It takes relationship. Relationship brings a whole different aspect to a relationship. You can't teach a right heart on a whiteboard. You just can't do it. You could teach some doctrine on a whiteboard, right? But how do you teach a right heart that way? You can't. A disciple needs to get to know you. And a disciple needs to get to see your heart. If you're going to make disciples, they need to see your heart. They need to see what the heart of Jesus looks like in a real, live man or woman. And that's going to be you. They need to see what it looks like from you. And so that's how you teach a right heart. Now, you teach right doctrine. In order to teach right doctrine, you first have to believe it yourself. You can't really teach something you don't believe. You teach a right heart by having a right heart and inviting others close enough to see it. You teach a right life by living a right life and inviting others close enough to see it. This is relationship. That's what this is. And so you cannot make a disciple unless you are a disciple. Heart, soul, mind, strength. There's a principle in Scripture. This is in nature. But everything reproduces after its own kind, right? Snakes give birth to snakes. Birds give birth to birds. Cows give birth to cows, and so on. In the spiritual world, it's the same thing. False teachers give birth when they reproduce. Do you know what they reproduce? False teachers. That's what they reproduce. People who have head knowledge only but no heart, when they reproduce, do you know what they reproduce? They reproduce people who have head knowledge only and no heart. Legalists reproduce legalists. Prosperity gospel people reproduce prosperity gospel people. People who take love and divorce it from biblical ethics, they reproduce sin. Whatever you are, that is what you will reproduce. What that means is, if you are not a disciple, you will not reproduce disciples. You won't make them because that's not what you are. You will reproduce after your own kind. Whatever you are, that's what you will make. That means that the first step in making disciples is to be one. That's the first step in making disciples. Be a follower of Jesus holistically. Love him with all your heart. Pursue right teaching. Live in obedience to Scripture. And don't ever think that those three aspects are at odds with one another, like they fight against one another. Don't ever think that way. That's not a biblical way of thinking. And then once that's true, go make disciples of all nations. Now, up to this point, I've been talking about what you are making. I've just been talking about what is a disciple. And we need to have that picture in our mind of what it is we're making. Because if you don't know what it is you're supposed to make, it's hard to make it. And so that's the picture of what we're making. I now want to talk about why. Why should we do that? Why should we go make disciples of all nations? And it comes straight out of the text. So, verse 18. Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Next verse. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations." And so Jesus has all authority. The next verse has "therefore." "Therefore" tells you that the reason you are to make disciples is that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's why you're to make disciples. Now, last week, we focused on the authority that Jesus had. Because he still has it. And we introduced this connection between verse 18 and verse 19. And so I want you to think of authority now. With authority, you are on one of two sides of authority. You are on the right side of authority, or you are on the wrong side of authority. That's the way authority works, right? If someone is on the wrong side of the law, let's say, he's going to get into trouble. When you're on the wrong side of authority of any sort, sooner or later, you're going to get into trouble. What if you could help that person get on the right side of that authority? If you could help them get on the right side of the law, then they don't get in trouble with the police. Or with help them get on the right side with the teacher, they don't get a zero on their paper, their project that's due on Tuesday. You would be making that person's life a whole lot better in the end if you could get them on the right side of authority instead of on the wrong side of authority. You would save them a great deal of trouble if that were true. And if you saw where somebody is going to end up if he's stealing or doing drugs, wouldn't it be your responsibility to do everything in your power to get him to stop doing that and be on the right side of the authority of the law? It would be your responsibility, actually, to do that. Okay, that's how it is with Jesus. You see, the police has authority, but the police does not have all authority. The authority of the police is limited. Your government has authority, but your government does not have all authority. Your boss at work, your teacher at school, they have authority, but they do not have all authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's everywhere. If it is right for you to do what you can to get your friend to follow the authority of the police, how much more is it right for you to do what you can to get your friend to yield to the authority of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth? If you should do it for the police, then you most definitely should do it for Jesus. He's got far more authority than they do. Disobedience to Jesus is disobedience to God. If you follow Jesus, you are following your king. If you do not follow Jesus, you are rebelling against your king. You're not following your king. Now, in English, we have a word for that. The word is treason. I don't know if you all know that English word, treason. I can't translate it into your language. It's when you basically go against, you try to overthrow your government, something like that. And if you rebel against Jesus, that's what you're doing. Typically, the penalty for treason on earth is usually execution. That's in just about everywhere there is. That's typically the penalty. Now, your friend, who is not a disciple of Jesus, is walking the easy path that leads to destruction. You know, Jesus talked about the two paths. The gate is wide, the path is easy that leads to destruction, and many are there who walk that path. The gate is narrow, the path is hard that leads to life, and few there are who find it. That's what Jesus said. Okay, the people who are not following him are on that easy path to destruction. It's a nice, easy, comfortable walk. It's just going in the wrong direction. They're not going where they need to be going in the end. And in the end, they're not going to like it. They are denying the authority of Jesus. They deny it. And that's why they're on that easy path. Go, make disciples of all nations. Pretty inclusive, all nations. It's like everyone in the world. Go make disciples. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what culture they come from, what nation they come from. Go make disciples of everybody. That's the idea. Everybody. Tell people who their rightful king is. Tell them that Jesus has all authority over them. They need to come to where they recognize he has authority over me. They have to recognize that. Tell them to trust him, to obey what he says. That's with authority, that's what you do. You have to obey it. And you want to trust it. Good authorities you trust. There are such things as bad authorities, which we're talking authority in general. Jesus is not a bad authority. Jesus is a good authority that you can trust. And if they repent and they turn and they begin to learn from him, what happens is they will be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. A change takes place. They turn around. They were walking one way down the path. They're now walking in the opposite direction on the path. They go from death to life. It's like leading a woman who's trapped in a dark cave, deep down in the dark cave, and you're leading her out into the noonday sun. Making disciples is something like that. It's like bringing people into a different world, because guys, let's be honest, the world of Jesus is not this world. It's not the way this world thinks. You really do have to learn a new way of thinking and a new way of living and you have to learn it. And it doesn't just come immediately. You have to learn it. And it's a different world. The world of Jesus has different principles. It has different values. It has different priorities. It's a different life. And it's a different life from every culture in this room. It's a different life from American culture. It's a different life from Muslim culture. It's a different life from Indonesian culture. It's a different life, you know, Chinese culture, Russian culture. It's a different life. Wherever you're from. And you have to learn this new life. That's what a disciple is. A learner of the life of Jesus. We make disciples because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And in the end, all things, all people, everyone, everywhere, will be measured by what they do with him. Because he's the one that has the authority. That's why we make disciples. Now, we have done this in the past, but I'm going to do it again because it fits this real well. I want you to think of someone in your world, family, friends, coworkers, doctors, people you see regularly, maybe they're in your world, but they don't really follow Jesus. Jesus is not their Lord. They live for something else. If you want to write down their names, feel free. If you just want to hold them in your head, you can do that. And I want you in your mind to think this. I want you to think of their name and just say it. And then after you say their name, just say, you know, so and so does not recognize the authority of Jesus. Whoever it is, family members, friends, co-workers, whoever. They need to know it. They need to know the authority of Jesus, and they need to know that authority now before they find it out later. Because they are going to find it out one day. But they need to know it now so that they can yield to it. Because that's going to be a whole lot better for them than finding it out later. Father, we pray for your strength to go make disciples of all nations. Jesus, you have promised that as we do this, you will be with us to the end of the age. Thank you. Thank you that you're with us in this this mission that you've given us, this task that you've given us to do. Thank you. We give you blessing and praise and glory, for you are worthy and you have all authority. We pray in your precious name. Amen.